All right, so you are driving home and
Home, what do you, home? Like where I live now? Like I'm in LA.
yeah, you're in LA, you're driving back to your apartment.
Okay.
You just finished teaching your final comedy class of the semester.
Oh no.
This is a few years down the road where you've decided, like, you know what? It's time for me to kind of impart my comedic wisdom to the next generation.
Oh, so this isn't somebody asking me for this. This is me volunteering my wisdom.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You're teaching it,
Do not like this already.
you're teaching it at the Lanalax Learning Center. It's like a thing where, like, you know,
I gotta pay them rent for a room or something, and I have my stupid class in there.
yeah, basically.
Oh,
But you're
God.
taking it seriously, man. Like, you really, like, put a lot of thought into this. You actually get a few of your friends to, like, record, you know, like 2 minute things of just being like, you get Chris Rock to
Chris
record
Rock, like the Chris Rock.
the comedian. Yeah, you just, like, blind shoot him an email being like, hey, you're my favorite comics. I'm teaching this comedy class at the Learning Center. And you know, if you have any words of wisdom, I know you're a busy guy, but you know, it'd be in the world. And he responded. He
What
sent
a nice
back
man.
a 2 minute video. He gives a pretty thoughtful answer about, you know, finding the truth in your performance, you know, even if what you're saying is kind of silly or kind of dumb. Finding, you know, the kernel of truth in it.
Gotcha.
He emails it to you. You delete it by accident. It never gets
Great.
shown.
Great. Are you fucking serious?
You get this guy, this road act that you would open for sometimes on the road, to this guy, Horny Hank. He puts a
God
video,
damn it.
and, like, he doesn't really talk about comedy. He kind of gives more of, like, a business thing of being like he's not like, you know, this is how I structure jokes. But you ask him to be
Sure.
like, hey, give me a little bit of the business side. And so he talks about merch.
As
He
like a
talks,
road dog.
yeah, basically,
Okay.
he talks about merch. He talks about the importance of, you know, having your own LLC, stuff, keeping track of stuff for you know, taxes and stuff like that. You really, and, like, you know, like I said, you put a lot of thought into the class. And there's a couple of promising, you know, promising students in there, you know. There's this woman, her name is Missy Arbuckle. She is a 68-year-old grandmother, retired. She's like, you know, I've always liked to laugh. And I've always loved stand-up comedy. And why not?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like
You.
my, that would be like my mom doing
Exactly. Yeah,
that.
exactly. There's this guy. He is a former gang member who's trying to turn his life around, where basically he it's you never really get the full story exactly, but there was some kind of, like, legal thing where he could either join the Marines or go to AA or take a stand-up comedy class. And he took the third option, obviously.
Yeah.
So rather than go to jail or go to AA, he takes your comedy class. And his name is Steven Stills.
Wait. You know what? Okay. Steven Stills, former gang member Steven Stills,
Yeah.
enrolls in my comedy class.
Yeah. There's a guy named Robert Nash.
Robert, you say Mash as in
Nash,
Mary? Robert
NASH.
Nash?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is a bodybuilder and he is not funny at all. And so you do the class, and like I said, it is the final one of the semester, and the whole semester it's like it was like a 4 week, twice a week thing that you were teaching. You called it Aaron's funny class, and you do the thing where you have a you like sit on a chair, the chair's turned around, you do that thing, you do the
Yeah, trying to
thing.
reach the kids.
Yeah, you do the thing where you put a jacket over your shoulder and you put your foot up on on the chair. Sometimes you sit on the desk. So
Okay.
you drive home, you have like a group chat basically of like you and like your students in the class. Just
Sure.
because, they're all adults, so sometimes, they're running late because of, family obligations or their job or stuff like that. And so they're in this group chat. And so you drive home, and before you get into your apartment, you just send out one final text. You're like, hey guys, so much fun teaching you guys. See you guys around, hopefully. And they're like, yeah, definitely. You walk inside to your apartment, and then like Missy Arbuckle is like, holy shit, I just got my first Comedy Central half hour. You're like,
So fucking mad. I'd be so fucking pissed off.
Steven Stills just sends a photo of himself with Chris Rock, and he's like, yeah, I just met Chris Rock. I told him about this comedy class. He seemed kind of weirded out by it. But I'm opening for him now. So
Great.
you got like two more texts, but like you don't even look at them. You're a little annoyed.
Look, I'm happy for the success of other people, right? I genuinely am. I'm happy for the success of other people, but
Sure.
yeah.
So you walk into your apartment building. You walk down the hallway. Your next door neighbor is like unlocking the door to his apartment. He sees you walk down. He's like, hey, neighbor. It's like this really polite guy. He's like, hail Satan. Walks inside, closes the door.
Cool. Okay.
There's like a pentagram on his like there's a pentagram on like the door of his apartment. You walk past, it like glows just a little. You walk into your apartment.
The pentagram glows.
Yeah. Just a little.
It doesn't matter. It's glowing.
Yeah. So you see it and you're like,
What the fuck?
yikes. You walk inside and you're a little weirded out. You're a little annoyed about this, your students already eclipsing you. You're kind of weirded out by like your polite Satanist neighbor. But God damn it, you're in a good mood. Because
Good.
you, my friend, have a date.
Oh, okay.
That night, you're going to
Ooh, with a woman?
yeah, you guys are playing mini golf.
Oh, man. All right.
And you were kind of nervous because you're not like, you've golfed and stuff, but like you were never much of a mini golfer. And so for about a week leading up to this, every day after work, you went to this mini golf place and like just practiced. Like
Man.
you probably on ev there's a there's like 36 holes. It's a very, very big mini golf
Yeah,
place.
36 holes.
Yeah, and there's like several different 36 hole versions. They call
What?
it, yeah, they call it the big dog.
How big is the big dog? How many holes?
The big dog is a big dog is 36, and so there's multiple big dogs. They call it the dog pound.
How many holes are in the dog pound?
36. Every dog dog, every big dog has 36. The dog pound is like just all of them, the collective group.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how many big dogs are in the dog pound?
Oh, seven.
Are you fucking kidding me? 7 36 hole complexes?
Yeah. They don't,
God
dude,
damn.
like I said, big dog. And the dog pound and the dogs are barking.
Man, that's a lot of space. They got to be
Yeah.
running a lot of people through there to make that work.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Are
It's
they got concessions and stuff too?
they got
I mean,
concessions.
36 holes. That's a lot of, that's like a stupid amount of golf.
So they have
Mini or regular.
Like concessions, they have restaurants. There's several like competing restaurants in there. There's a lot of stuff to do. It's
So
called
this isn't just like, this isn't just like a mini golf course. This is like complex, like a sports complex.
It's a full entertainment gala, essentially, yeah.
A full entertainment gala.
However, the mini golf is like the main thing.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it has
In all honesty,
seven 36 hole courses.
they have all the
One
extra
36 hole course is absurd, let alone seven of them.
all of the extra stuff that they have, the restaurants, the shopping malls, all the different stuff like that. They have them essentially to make money that they can focus on the golf. You know what I mean? Like the main thing that they're passionate about is the mini golf. The other stuff is just for money. And the
Okay.
main thing is the mini golf. It's
That's
called
fucking crazy.
Sprockets Putt and Smile.
Oh.
It's
Sprockets, Putt, and Smile?
owned by the Sprocket family.
Oh, Lord. Putt and Smile?
Yeah, the Sprocket family, they're kind of like a very old LA family. They've been there for a very long time. They were the first to put chocolate chips inside of pancakes. And
Yeah.
so the yeah, so they're sort of like a
What, how the fuck does that mean anything? Like monetarily.
It's just, they're the ones who brought it to America, essentially. And so, kind of based on that, they were able to, prosper.
How the fuck do you do that? Could you provide the link between having just like a good breakfast idea to all of a sudden being able to prosper and like to keep prospering generations down the line?
Yeah. So basically the board of contributions to society gave them
Oh shit.
kind
Okay.
of helped like fund it, you know what I mean? And so like they kind of
Okay.
gave them some seed money, as a thank you for doing this, and they were able to take that money and use it to heighten their station, baby. They own a
Okay.
lot of stuff. However, their big thing is mini golf. The patriarch of the family is this guy, Buster Sprocket.
Buster Sprocket.
Yeah, he met his wife of 87 years at a mini golf place. And so this
What
and
the fuck? That's so long.
his wife recently died. And so this is sort of a like a monument to the love that they shared for 87 years. Yeah.
The Taj Mahal of mini golf.
Essentially, yeah. And
Huh.
so it's a lot of fun. And the mini golf stuff is very, there's some of the different big dogs have different themes, you know what I mean? And different things like
Sure.
that. But every once in a while there will be a monument to like his deceased
Dead wife.
wife. Yeah. Her name was Mariana.
Mariana Sprocket,
Yeah.
Mariana and Buster Sprocket.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and theirs is a love that will sing forever. They truly had a very, very passionate relationship.
Okay, great. Good for them.
Yeah. with a love that can transcend time and space. And so you are going to go to Sprocket's Putt and Smile for this date. And so you've been going there to like practice to make sure that like you just, you know, you're not necessarily like, you know, looking to be super competitive. You don't have to win, but like you don't want to look like an idiot. You know what I mean? You'll be goddamned if you look like an idiot at Sprocket's Putt and Smile.
I mean, not if I have like the opportunity to put some work in to get better.
Sure.
For the date. I mean, I guess, yeah.
And so you play every single hole at you just like focus on one of, you know, 36 hole pod, you know what I mean?
One big dog
at a time. And so you do every single hole probably about 25 times each.
Holy shit, that's so much.
You know,
36 holes is already so much.
Yeah.
Why is it so many? Why are they all 36 holes? Golf is 18 holes.
Right, but it's like, that's the thing, is that they're called big dog for a reason. 36 holes. If you're not going to play all of them, then honestly, don't bother coming.
Fuck, is that serious? That's how serious they take this?
I mean, some people do. I mean, it's seen as, you know, one of the best, you know, mini golf places in America. And then, of course, there's people who go, you know, some of them do it to be contrarians, but some of them have some pretty valid points who they go, you know, that's not the be all end all, that place. You know what I mean? Like, this is just an illusion that people have, that we've built up, that we've allowed ourselves to believe in. And when we all believe in it, it becomes real. But
what,
you know,
that this place is an exceptional mini golf place.
Yeah.
That's the illusion.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of these barriers to entry, like requiring 36 holes of worth of play. And
no, they're just like, you know, people think this place is so great. You know, I know better putt-putt golf places. So these are people who go, you know, they're like, they're into the smaller, you know, independent ones, I guess. I don't know. I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying these are some people that, you know, these people do exist. So you go there, you're meeting up with this woman. Her name is Electra Garthington.
Electra Garthington? Is this woman's name?
Yeah. You guys met at a candy store recently. You guys met at a candy store that is it's located in kind of a weird part of town, kind of overridden with like crime and stuff like that. Like it's kind of a rough part of LA.
Yeah.
It's called The Pasture. And so you go to The Pasture because You go to The Pasture because there is a candy store there that you have been meaning to check out for a very long time.
Why the fuck would I do that? I'm not like somebody who's like eating a lot of candy, believe it or not.
Because you've... No,
I'm
you're
not like
not
a candy head.
You're not much of a candy head. You're not a candy boy at all. But I've just heard so many good things from people. People being like, yeah, like I'm not even much of like a, you know, I don't have much of a sweet tooth. You know, this one guy at work told you, Ed, you don't know his last name. He's like, yeah, I'm not even much of a sweet. I don't have much of a sweet tooth myself, but man, they had some pretty interesting things there, Aaron. And so you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go check it out. Fuck it. I got nothing else going on today. So you travel there, and even though it's not in a not super safe part of town, the thing about it is that the reviews were so good. Like they specifically say on the Yelp reviews, like, you know, try not to spend more than like, you know, 10 minutes or your car, you know, will get stolen. But they have some very great confections here. And so like, there's like, after like several people acknowledging the fact that it's in a not great part of town, but it's worth it, you're like, fuck it. I'm just gonna go. And so you went there and you saw that they had a one final chocolate covered pretzel left.
Single pretzel,
Yeah, a single chocolate.
like a standard CCP.
Right, but it but this has thing this pretzel has been soaked in chocolate. You can tell just looking at it. You look at it and you know, you can see the salt still on
Yeah.
top of the pretzel, and you imagine that the sweetness mixing with the tingly salt of that pretzel, and your mouth starts to water.
Yeah, I love a chocolate covered pretzel. It's one of my favorite snacks.
You reach for
If
it.
I were to get something.
You reach for it at the exact same time that she does, and like you guys grab the pretzel at the same time and pull it away, and it breaks in half perfectly. And you guys like look up at each other, like, what the fuck? And then like you kind of like put the pretzels together, and you see that like it like perfectly forms a pretzel.
Ooh.
You and Electra at the same time. This is how
Oh,
you met her.
Electra. Okay, this is
Yeah.
Electra.
Garthington, I think
Yeah,
her name
Electra
was.
Garthington.
So
This
after
is
you,
so there's a dumb chocolate covered pretzel meet cute.
yeah, you guys rip apart perfectly in half. And after that, you guys kind of get to talking. And to be honest with you, Aaron, the sparks were flying. And so,
Gotta love that.
yeah, so you guys made a date to go to this mini golf place. So,
Sprocket's putt and smile.
yep. So you go there, you guys walk in, and you know, you guys are like waiting in line, and the conversation is going pretty well, man. You know, like it takes a while to get in because, you know, like there's such a long line or whatever, but you're like, whatever, like this
And
is
again,
time.
we have to go play 36 holes of mini golf.
Yeah, I mean, you want to. Like that's like the thing. Like she's like, yeah, I really love mini golf. I've always wanted to, you know, check this place out. I haven't had a
Yeah.
chance to. So you're like, oh, well, you know, let's you were like, well, allow me to escort you, m'lady.
Oh, Lord.
And yeah, and she like kind of like laughs, and you're like, you just turn beet red, and she's like, you know what? Definitely. So you guys go and you walk in, and you're kind of like you know, lean against the wall, chatting it up. You get to the front of the line where they have like the balls and like the putters and stuff like that. And
Yeah.
you guys are talking. You're telling her about a story about the time when you were 7 years old and you thought that you saw the face of God, but it turned out that it was just your brother's reflection in the microwave screen. You're like telling the story to her, and you kind of like absentmindedly like kind of reach over and like grab a putter and like pull it out. And when you pull that putter into the air, everyone around you goes silent.
Why? Where did I pull this putter from?
You're kind of
What is
like,
so
what?
special about this putter?
That's what you kind of like think to yourself. You're like, what the fuck? And then you look down and you see there's like a stone slab with like a little like hole in it, and there's like next to it a plaque, and it just says, "The Holy Putter of Saint Barnabas." And people go, "Holy shit. He was able to pull it." All of the people, all of, like the employees who work there, they all like go down on one knee for like just 1 second, and they like pop back up.
So these people built this mini golf mecca around this monument, this artifact of a putter that couldn't be pulled from the stone.
Unless somebody was worthy, yeah.
And they saw this as, is this like a holy place to these people? Like,
Like just for just a second they do it, and then they're like, you know, you play for free. So you guys hang out, you know, play putt-putt golf for a while, and you are killing it.
Yeah, I bet. If I was practicing as much as you implied
Yeah.
recently.
And with this like, and you notice like as you like you're playing the your putter gets like more and more like gold as it goes on. Like it looks kind of rusted at first, but after your first hole in one on the first hole, like it started to like get more gold, you know what I mean? It started to like shine a little bit
It's taking on a golden color.
with every hole in one.
Oh, Lord.
By the end of this, you have gotten 36 hole in ones. It's the first time that anyone has ever, as they put it there, tamed the big dog.
I tamed the big dog.
Oh, you tamed the big dog that night. And Electra noticed. Oh, she noticed.
Yeah.
You guys go home, have like mind-blowing sex.
Oh, man.
You never see her again.
This tracks.
The next day, you're like, whoa, that was kind of a crazy night. You turn on the TV. You're watching the newest episode. There's this new TV show that you've been watching called, it's a game show called Where's My Children?
Where's my children?
Where's My Children? It's a game show where you have to essentially, it's kind of like just a general knowledge quiz game kind of thing, but if you're on it, it means they've kidnapped your children. And it is tense.
It's a quiz game you have to do against your will because your children's lives are at stake. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, I'm just telling you what happens. That's just what you're watching, you know? And so you go to like watch that. You turn on the TV and it kind of like, you know, comes to life, like glows, you know what I mean, for a
Yeah.
second with the blue
Where's my
light.
children?
And out of that TV screen comes like a shining blue light.
Don't like
Covers
this.
for just a second in front of your face. And then suddenly you hear of deep, deep, like, you know, set. It's all, it sounds like several voices speaking as one in your
Yeah.
head. You just hear, "Hello, Aaron. We are the keepers of the cosmos. Cosmos, cosmos, cosmos." What do you do?
So what can I do? You know what I mean? I'm gonna turn the TV off. I think is what I probably do. I think I turn the TV off first thing.
Yeah. So you turn the TV off, your phone rings. What do you do?
What's the screen say?
It just says dot 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 dot.
I'm not answering that shit. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not answering a cryptic ass call like that. Not after TV started talking to me.
So
No.
you just hit like ignore. There's a knock on the
Yeah.
door.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm probably terrified at this point.
You just hear someone go, "Night mail." They open up the like the mail flap and like put like a letter through. They walk away whistling. What do you
Well,
do?
I look at what the fucking nightmare left me.
So you it's just like a letter. It says it's addressed to you,
Yeah.
Aaron Brooks. Do you open it?
Yeah, of course I open it.
So you open it, it's just like a piece of paper. It says, "Hey Aaron, keepers of the cosmos here." They go on to tell you in this
Are you
letter that
fucking
they go it, basically they go on to tell you in this letter that as the chosen one, the one that was able to pull the putter from the stone, the one who is pure of heart is the only one that they can trust. The only one that they can trust to save the egg of the phoenix. Then it says like phoenix, 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 phoenix.
They write an echo into this letter.
They write an echo, like the words get progressively smaller. Yeah. So basically, the Lanolax
Corporation. What the fuck is the egg of the phoenix?
So the Lanolax Corporation is putting on a mini golf tournament. And the winner of this tournament, the prize is the egg of a phoenix. The only one that's in existence. It only recently was, like, you know, birthed, essentially. They go on to explain that if the phoenix egg falls into the wrong hands, like, really bad things can happen. And then underneath it, it says, will you help us? And it says, there's like a yes, a no, and a maybe that you can, like, put a check mark next to, you know?
Check maybe, and then I write, what's in it for me? And then I put the letter back in the envelope, and I just stick it on the porch.
Yeah. You stick it on the porch. You go, you know, go to bed.
Yeah.
You dream of a howling void. Great. You wake up in the morning and, you know, get out of bed, walk into the, you know, into the kitchen to make yourself some breakfast. On the kitchen table is a letter. It's addressed to Aaron Brooks. What do you do?
I go to the door to see if it's still locked. I check the windows. Like, somebody came in here and placed this letter.
Everything is locked. Everything looks essentially the exact way that it did before you went to sleep, except there is a scent of honeydew in the air, just a little. Though you're not sure.
I read the fucking letter. I read the fucking letter.
It says, Aaron, if you get us the phoenix egg, we will give you $10,000 cash. Cash, cash, cash. Then it says, do you accept? Yes, no, maybe.
I check maybe, and I write on there, I don't know if I'm going to help you, but I'll see you fuckers there. That's what I put.
Fuck yeah. You go to the tournament, and you're, like, feeling good. You've got, you know, the putter with you. The putter of
St. Barnabas.
St. Barnabas, yeah. And it is glowing. Like it is, at times, like, when you swing it or, like, putt it with it, you know, it's, like, hard to look directly at it. So sometimes you do close your eyes when you, not all the time, but sometimes you kind of, like, at the very least, like, squint, and at least once you've had to close your eyes while putting. That's how bright it is. So you go to this tournament, and Aaron, you fucking wreck shop.
Yeah.
It is not even close.
I mean, I literally hit a hole in one on every single one last time I was there. But maybe the big dog I'm at this time is a greater challenge. I don't know.
It is a greater challenge, and you get a hole in one on every single fucking one.
Well, fuck. Then give me that egg.
So at the end, at like the awards ceremony, it's you in first place with a score of 36.
Yeah.
In second place is Missy Arbuckle from your comedy class.
Yeah.
She's like, Aaron, it's great to see you again.
Oh, hey, Missy.
She's like, I just signed a development deal with NBC. She goes, I'll talk to you afterward. Third place was, you just never bothered learning the guy's name. So you're awarded the Phoenix Egg, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, you know? You go home, you turn on the TV, there's that glowing orb again. And you hear that voice that sounds like, again, probably about like a million voices speaking as one. They go, "Aaron, congratulations. Will you give us the Phoenix Egg?"
Say, "You're gonna have to give me more information. I don't have this thing. I don't, how can I know you're the person who's supposed to get it and that you're not just bullshitting me?"
They go, "Because we are the keepers of the cosmos, 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 cosmos."
But that doesn't
And
mean anything to
you
me.
hear like,
Is somebody
"Wow."
shredding?
Yeah, someone shreds.
Okay. I say that doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know if I can trust you or not.
They go, "Aaron, if the wrong person gets this, you don't know what you
Yeah,
have. If the wrong person."
and that's the point, is that I don't know what I have. And if the wrong person gets it, everything is fucked. How do I know that you're not the wrong person?
They go, "Aaron, it is a very interesting story. At the dawn of time," and then the egg cracks, and the
What the
phoenix
fuck?
comes out of it.
What the fuck?
It's
Fuck
a
you.
celestial being made entirely of fire, and you just burn, you like get
Great.
it bursts out of the egg, and your skin and clothing just immediately catch fire.
Right.
You hear the voice on the TV go, "Oh shit." And like the TV turns off.
Fuck you.
Your entire apartment just like burns down. A phoenix leaves Earth. It goes on to have many celestial adventures, but you don't know anything about it. You never learn about it because you die screaming, burning to death by celestial fire.
That fucking sucks. I went along with it, tried to do the right thing.
Yeah,
This
but you,
fucking sucks.
I mean, maybe if only you'd given him the egg, I guess.
How was I supposed to know that he was the right one to receive the egg?
Mean, you definitely weren't the right one. You
No,
fucking,
of course I wasn't.
everyone in your apartment died.